now tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Commissioner Gordon.
Yes, sir. Welcome back. You are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. How's everybody feeling out here today? Good Monday. Everything's going well. I hope your weekend went great. My weekend was pretty doggone decent. You know, we're doing a lot of running around, man. But I was shocked. I can't deny I was shocked, much like probably all of you who watch sports. If you watch the NBA, how many of you can honestly say that you weren't shocked by this weekend's playoffs? Before we get into that, I want to just say, if you're listening to me live on the sound of my voice, we are live at Blends 2. That's 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. And every week we are brought to you by Greenwood Whiskey. We got a lot of great people in the building. I'd encourage you to come out, take part, network, and do your best to get here and have a great time. Shouts out to my DJ, DJ Unique, my partner G Rush, my son D, and DJ Reese Boogie. Starting off with these playoffs, man, I want to get into it. I want everybody, because we had a conversation a little earlier, I want everybody to kind of weigh in a little bit. So if you don't know, if you're living under a rock, Phoenix got defeated by Luka and the Mavs. And I say Luka and the Mavs because everybody's acting like Luka's this saint, this hero. And I always come across, and I start talking about the Dallas Mavericks, just full transparency. I often sound like a Luka hater. And I want to, before we get anything started, I want to say that I am not a Luka Doncic hater. I actually like Luka Doncic. I think he's a dope-ass player. But the only problem comes in for me is whenever somebody brings up Luka Doncic, they also feel like they have to drag Trey name into it. And so now I'm stuck defending my guy. If you know me, I'm Atlanta through and through. So it's like somebody talking about your little brother. You know what I'm saying? So if we can have a civil conversation about Luka and how phenomenal he's playing without somebody saying, well, Dallas won that trade. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we can have that conversation without having that conversation, then I'll be fine. And you can see that I'm not a Luka hater. But I do want to congratulate the Dallas Mavericks. I didn't think they would make it this far. I also want to congratulate the Boston Celtics because I didn't think that I also didn't think that they would be, you know what I'm saying? But we can talk about it. So I want to open up the floor, man. I got my guy, Big Mike. Right here, he's going to want. So, what's that? Congratulations to the Boston Celtics. Jason Tatum. So, I started this. With this playoff, this is one of the best playoffs I can remember in recent years. Have we watched the changing of the guard, so to speak, where this year there's been no LeBron? KD got out early. Steph is still in the building, but he's definitely showing his age. And now we have the Ja Morants, the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns. We've got these younger guys who are stepping up. Luka, you know what I'm saying? We got these guys who are stepping up. And I'm going to be honest, dog. I don't miss. Like, I'm not sitting around like, damn, man, it would be a whole lot better if LeBron was playing. I'm not that.
I agree. Like, I mean, I ain't no LeBron hater or nothing like that, but I feel like when he's in the topic or in the subject, especially in the playoffs, everybody act like he's got to win or like he getting mistreated or, you know what I'm saying, refs against him when he playing. So I'm kind of glad, but I agree with you. It has been like one of the better playoffs to me that I've seen. I actually watch the playoffs. I sometimes will stray away from basketball. I'm a football guy, of course, but I actually watched a lot of these games in this playoff or play-in, whatever you want to call it. And to me, it's been more exciting.
Yeah, both. I mean, and honestly, I think the play-in, because I'm glad you mentioned it, because I think the play-in has been what they've wanted it to do. Like, it initially, they wanted it to curb, like, the tanking. But I think it added a little extra juice to the game. Like, it's a series to where you have one team that may have to win two games in a row. You got one team that may, if you win one, you win. It's a mystery, and it makes everybody play a little bit harder. And I think the NFL is reaching for that same thing by trying to add wild cards. And I don't know if it's going to have the same effect, but it worked for the NBA. It definitely worked. I don't know anybody who says that the play-in game is some bull, but everybody seems to be watching it. Like, how many times could we honestly say Charlotte was enthused by the playoffs? But here we were, Minnesota. You know what I'm saying? How many times can we often say, like, we were on the edge watching Minnesota Timberwolves in postseason play? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's done a lot to bring forward the NBA fans. And it's making for barbershop talks to be a whole lot more interesting, because every team now, and I was saying, referencing back earlier, every team now has a star. Like, you can go through the entire roster, whether it's a Charlotte, whether even Sacramento, still got De'Aaron Fox. You still have stars. You still have these guys that people want to pay to see and put all this stuff together. So, once again, I do recognize that, like, I didn't know Jason Tatum, like, had it in him. I knew he had that possession. And we saw Giannis Antetokounmpo turn it on last year. And if you were to ask me, and people did ask me, we sat here and we talked about it all week, and people were asking me, like, yo, what do you think? I knew Giannis had that switch. It was a question if Tatum had that switch.
Well, I think the big question with, as it comes to Giannis and with Tatum, going back to the conversation we had earlier about Pippen, right, mm-hmm. that number two, them not having Chris Middleton, make no mistake Facts. About it, that was a huge factor in Boston's favor. Boston might not have survived that if Chris Middleton was on that court with there. But the same thing with Boston, my eyes go to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, to me, is that make or break with Boston. We don't care about Marcus Smart. We don't care about these other guys that come out of nowhere and start shooting seven threes, you know, Williams or the other guys. What is Jaylen Brown going to do? Jason Tatum is only going to get as far as Jaylen Brown is allowing him to get, but Tatum is going to get the celebrity for it.
And with that, I agree with that, because – think about, like, just where we were a year ago or 2 years ago. They were talking about, like, this team had reached the ceiling. Like, it had reached its peak. And I had to commend that over to coaching. Brad Stevens gets out of there. He moves up to, you know, the front office or whatever. You know, just whatever move that was. I don't know how much power he has. But you bring in a new coach. Ime Udoka comes in, and he basically tells you, y'all fucking up out here. Like, what are y'all doing? Y'all playing selfish basketball. And whether you like it or not, Boston started out down in the dumps in the season, but they got it together. Like, I don't know if it was just we trying to do something new because we have a new coach and we're trying to get it together. But the coach has made them put it together. And that a lot of people thought I was and I am. I didn't really like Brad Stevens. I thought he was worked well in the college ranks. And I didn't think he was that guy. I think he got the position unwarranted. You know, he was the hot college coach. And I didn't see it. And then when it came down to it, when it came to crunch time, we saw Boston was only able to go so far. And now that you have a coaching change, a new voice, basically the same guys. I mean, you added, you know, a couple guys here and there. Every team has that kind of turnover. But now that you have a new voice as the leader, you see a whole new different switch, a whole new level of play. And I'll turn it over to Flowers asking me, like, when we were talking about, you know, coaching, he asked me about Doc Rivers. And I basically said the same thing. Like, look, it's time we call Doc to the carpet.
I mean, really.
Like, he has the championship with KD, with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and that big three. He has that championship. But at the same time, every move, every team, every shot, every playoffs that he's been a part of, it's like he's been a main reason for it getting botched.
Look what they had in LA.
Exactly. And that was the one of the things. Like, and I think that everybody says he's a player's coach. I think he's a player's coach to the detriment.
Yeah.
because we were having that conversation a little bit earlier, and I was saying, like, whatever you own, Doc is like, cool, I'll let you do that. It just so happened that Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and Rondo, these dudes was on some winning stuff. Like, yo, we about to go out here, and we about to kill it, man. We, by any means necessary, we about to go out here and win this championship. And Doc was like, okay, cool. Doc was like, cool, yeah, we're going to do it. Let's go win this championship. He let them go out and handle the team. With the Clippers, like you were just referring to, they had arguably the most talented team I have ever seen in life.
Too talented.
And you out here and your whole identity was a flop. That's what you became known as. You became known as the soft squad who were always flop. Went from Lob City to Flop City. And we have to look at your head coach. We have to look at Doc. We also have to look at Chris Paul, who just lost a game 7 by 33 damn points. You know what I'm saying? We have to look at that. You know what I'm saying? They can go hand in hand. Those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. They can go hand in hand because we're talking about the NBA. Like, we always talk about when it gets to be pressure time, how these guys step up. And I made the comment earlier on Twitter, and me and the guy was going back and forth. I said, look, with this happening to Chris Paul, Fly, I ask you, can we retract the name now, point guard?
No, we can't, because he's still a point guard, and we got to understand when you come up short in the playoffs, there's always going to be winners and losers. But the problem with Chris Paul is that he is a point guard, and he's so great. But why is it when it gets to this point in the season, it's always the same collapse? He keeps on collapsing in these playoff moments. At first, with the Clippers, it seemed like it was health. You know, he always mm-hmm. seemed to be hurt towards the end. Then he went vegan, and he found a new life in his career with that. And then when he got to Houston, same thing, injury. But this time, it's just flat out. He wasn't getting it done.
But this is where I beg to differ. Like, we say God, you think of, like, you have to be iconic, coming over the hump, triumph by any means. And when you say point God, like we can call him point good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Point good. He could be point good. But point God?
Reason why he's the point God is, think about it. Every team that he's been on, has he ever missed the playoffs? I don't think he ever has not been in the playoffs since he's been in the league.
That's fair. Yeah.
He even had a OKC team that people wasn't expecting nothing from
right.
in the playoffs.
Right.
And they played well.
He's
That's
a mastermind.
Why he's the point guard.
He's a mastermind. He's a certain for show Hall of Famer. But like I said, I don't take that G-O-D lightly. Like I said, we can add another O, and he could be point good to me. Because when I think of like somebody like that, of this generation
that's or
of all time?
Just in history. In history.
All time?
Somebody got to have it.
I'll put Magic in front of him.
But that's Magic, though.
Oh, see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying, though? No. There's levels. You know what I'm saying? So I'll take Magic. I don't know. I would argue. Yeah, this generation. I'll give him that. This generation, I can't think of a point guard. Like, I don't know if you would count Steph as a point guard. Like, he plays a lot of off the ball. He plays with the ball sometimes, but I don't know if you would categorize him as point guard. But like I said, going back to all times, I don't know if Isaiah Thomas, you know what I'm saying? Zeke would go to, like, I watched Isaiah Thomas hobble on a broken ankle, still scoring damn near 50, trying to make it, you know what I'm saying? Like,
to me, Isaiah is not spoken of or looked at in that regard, and it just makes me wonder how much of that has to do with the so-called beef with Jordan, with the so-called left off the Olympics team.
Well, I don't think I think it has a lot to do with it, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that Isaiah Thomas is a sneaky bastard. Yeah, he's a shady dude, man. He's a real shady guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you go through history, like, even when as a GM,
Yeah, when the New York Times.
With the New York Knicks, you know what I'm saying? Him and Steph was going back and forth. They were talking, they were putting women in compromising positions. He couldn't get rid of Stephon Marbury because Stephon Marbury had the dirt. He was like, yo, you know, you better not cut me. You couldn't get rid of it. So it's a lot there. Like, I think he's a shady guy, man. Like, his skills are unmatched on the court, but in terms of personality, I think it all has to tie in together because him being a bad boy, it's also him ducking out on Mike when they lost. You know what I'm saying? When they lost, you know, didn't want to shake Mike in them hand. Yeah, but we all know about the Celtics being it. So I all know about the Celtics. Well, I also think that he secretly despised Mike because Mike got the love in Chicago that he wanted because he's from Chicago. But he didn't get that love because like always, when we see a dude with a jersey on, we associate him with that city. Mike Vick wasn't from Atlanta, or you know, Dominique wasn't from Atlanta, but you see him with the jersey. And you associate him with that city, you're like, oh man, he Atlanta all day. Well, no, he's not. But Isaiah Thomas was Detroit, but he wanted to be Chicago because that was his neighborhood. And so when he went home, and he started talking to his family wasn't pulling for Detroit. They pulling for Jordan.
Yeah, that's a hard
feeling. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's that, but I think. He has come to a place where I think he's kind of accepted the fate. Like we were talking earlier, like at some point in time, you go throughout your post-game career and you get there and you like, yo, you look back and you're like, okay, I can accept what it is. There's a lot of dudes that can't accept what it is. And we see it all the time. Like we got one we were talking about earlier, Scottie Pippen don't accept what it is. Like you were Robin, dog. Like you weren't Batman. You had a bunch of gadgets. You know, you had a bunch of stuff. You know, you caught criminals too. You know, you had the little, but you still, when we got in the Batmobile, you rolled in the sidecar. You know what I'm saying? So, but he don't want to accept that he was robbing. So he's screaming, he's shouting, he's writing books, he's going on ESPN, Fox Sports, and all these other different places to try to tell us, oh, Michael Jordan wasn't this and Michael Jordan wasn't that. When we see what you did when you got the opportunity to do it by yourself.
The thing with Pippen, I think a lot of that would have been suppressed if it wasn't this resurgence of Jordan love. So with the documentary, with the shoes, everything being the way it was, it's a resurgence of Jordan, and
continuation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like even with the younger generation going back, they knew Jordan for the shoes. They knew Jordan of the hype, but they never went back and watched the games. They
right.
never went back and saw, okay, he was that dude, but here's this guy Pippen that's dunking over seven-footers. Who is he? You know, where's his signature shoe, even though he has one? But, you know,
right.
you're not
that's
a sneakerhead. You don't know that.
He had a shoe.
You know, that goes back to the conversation like he had a said dope earlier. Shoe. You got a shoe. You got championships. You Hall of Fame. What was wrong with your career? Nothing was wrong with it.
But you wanted more. You wanted that validation because people will all that's and you would throw your name and say, well, Michael Jordan didn't win without Scottie Pippen. Yeah, that's true because that's part of the team. Like there was a lot of people on that roster you can go down and say he didn't win without. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that you could say that. But
so is that KD syndrome though? Because perfectly honest, why the hell did he leave Golden State?
So that plus KD isn't a loyal guy. KD is I'm going to go where everybody goes, where everybody's playing basketball. I reference it to a fact that the first time I heard this, it really opened my eyes about Kevin Durant. And I think it might have been Jay Billis. Somebody was talking about it. It said Kevin Durant played basketball at four different high schools in four different years. And it opened my eyes. So that shows you I have no problem going – I'm uncomfortable right here. I'll get up and leave. You know what I'm saying? Well, other players will stick it out. Like, I'm uncomfortable right here. I'll make it work. Well, I'm uncomfortable right here. He has to leave. Nah, I'm uncomfortable. I'll go over there. You know what I'm saying? So
I wonder, is that part of his home raising, basically. I wonder, is that the mom
that could be having the single mom type thing. I also just think that he grew up when that basketball culture was just turning over to that hardcore AAU, and we don't give a damn about a state championship. I want to go where all the guys are being seen. You know what I'm saying? So if they hooping over here at ABC High School, and then all these dudes graduate, and I'm in the 10th grade, I move over here to 1-2-3 High School, and then I hoop with them because they hooping, you know what I'm saying, because all the scouts are going over here or whatever. So I think it's part of that.
I was going to ask, why do we give him a harder time for doing what LeBron did? He essentially did what LeBron did and did it better, but we sort of crucify him for it. Is it because the team was an all-time great team that he joined? Is that what it is? Well, are we holding against him?
I personally don't give either one of them a hard time. I don't give either one of them a hard time about it just because I'm all for player control. Like, for so many years in this league, like we talked about the Barkleys and the Jordans and the Pippins. Pippin was under a fucked up contract. It was a 10-year deal. So for you to sit here and be like, oh, I never jump ship, you couldn't. They went for to let you go. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't walk away. So it's easy to talk about something when you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? You say, I wouldn't wear those shoes. You can't afford them. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy to say. So I think, but with that, I applaud the players who looked around and said, you know what? I'll take a 3-year deal. I can opt in or opt out in after 2. And I'll control where I go next. And the owners don't like it. So what do? They voice their frustrations to the media, and the media says, oh, this is terrible. And then the media funnels it out to us so that we think, oh, this player movement, this is terrible. It's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not terrible. It's actually pretty good for the game, as we're starting to see now, as a lot of these teams are moving around, and we got some great matchups. You know what I'm saying? We got some great matchups. So I have never at any given moment said that I think that a player up and leaving, whether it's NBA, whether it's college football, now that we got, you know, the transfer portal going on, any of those, I'm all for a player being able to control where they go, because there's no other form of life that you're just held to a particular spot. If you, whatever job you work right now, if you decide tomorrow, I like this job in San Antonio, you can put in your 2 weeks and you can move to San Antonio and you can be working that job this time next month. There's no other place where they say, nah, you got to stay here. We got a contract to say you got to play 5 more years right here.
Like, go back to the key term you said, ownership. I really feel like a lot of these owners still have that mentality, almost that slave mentality. They
certainly
own these players.
Certainly.
How dare you go somewhere, I'm paying you well, shut up and dribble, you know, don't embarrass me, you know, take your millions, improve your family, but don't step out and try to improve somebody else's family. Don't step out and speak on this social issue unless we approve it or we say that it's good to speak on and everybody is doing it. Then you can change the name on the back of your jersey.
Right.
But how dare you try to do that, you know, without us telling you to, like, they own them.
And I saw a push somewhere to say somebody wanted to change it from, like, ownership, like they're not calling it the team owner, they're calling it some. It was weird. It was weird. I think yes, you own the team. Like,
it is what it is.
If I bought the team, I own the team. And right, but at the same time, like what the shift has to happen to where instead of it being like I own the player, you have to look at the player as a partner. And I guess maybe it's because, like you said, of that slave aspect of, you know, that's been embedded into them. Because, you know, if 9 times out of 10, you don't just stumble across $1 billion.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody's had some money along the way. So, you know what I'm saying? So somebody's had that bread. So you look down at a certain class of people and you think I'm above and I'm better than this dude, I'm better than that dude, and they work for me and they have to cater to me and do what I want.
You can't tell Jerry Jones, you can't tell me Jerry Jones doesn't think he owns every single one
the
of the
world.
Yeah.
He owns the world. Jerry Jones is the only team owner who will get out there, his team will play the game, and he hosts a post game show. he didn't call a play. He didn't run a ball, but he out there at the post game podium like fielding questions left and right. Well, I think we should have got it worked out, you know. And you just like, dude, we don't care. Just cut the check.
Off topic, he said four Billy. What did he say? Four or six Billy that he thinks he can get for Dallas.
I think he said six.
I think he said six. Six
for
Billy?
For the Cowboys.
He said he thinks he can get six Billy for the Cowboys.
Hell, he spent two for Jay Reeske in the building. What's happening, Jay Reeske? Hey, man, I missed y'all last week, but, man, the old man bones was kicking to me. Just tell me what I missed.
No. We'll get to that later.
You know, I get on it. I ain't got my water in me right now, so I'm dry right now. Well, can I kick it, Mike? What's happening? Cool
so,
it.
Yeah, so Jerry is at that point. He's another guy. Like I think Mark Cuban is reaching that point. Like Cuban was cool at first, but now and more you looking like, man, this dude doing a lot. He's being extra. Like, damn, like.
But you gotta look at it. It's old money. It ain't new money.
Well, with Mark Cuban is well, actually I can say with Jerry is a self-made guy too. Cuban came along. Cube got his money off the internet. You know what I'm saying? As soon as that hit, so in like the late 90s, early 2000s, Cube made that money. And I actually have a funny story about him. Like, he was speaking. Like, I think I was, this had to be like 2010 maybe. And I was working at a radio station. We were doing some stuff somewhere around downtown. And some guys I was working with was like, hey, yo, let's go hit this bar. I'm working with some white dudes. They're like, let's go hit this bar, man. We're going to go, you know, kick it at this bar. I'm like, all right, I'll go have a couple of drinks before we dip, you know, before I go home. I get there, and apparently Mark Cuban had spoken to, like, the graduating class or whatever at Emory. And you look up, and Mark Cuban is walking in through the bar, to the bar. And for whatever reason, bruh, like, that dude talked to me and was just talking my damn head off. And, like, to the point where the white dude was like, he must think you play for him. he was just, that dude just sat there, he bought me a drink, and he was just talking. I'm like, damn, like, I'm thinking myself, like, why the hell is Mark Cuban talking to me? And it became a joke, like, they finally, like, he had to leave, like, you know, his people came, was like, yo, we gotta go, whatever, and we were still there, but, like, my guys were like, damn, like, he really must thank you, like, did you ask him for a job? I'm like, shit, I should've. But yeah, it was crazy. But like, that was like probably one of the, like, in the early development of him having his power and having him, you know, starting to do things, because he was trying to revolutionize some of the way the league looked at it, because he was the first one to get like the charter, the charter planes and have the station, a PlayStation, Xbox, all the luxuries, the stuff that's in your locker room, because he didn't want you to leave. He didn't want the players to leave the locker room. He wanted you to come in, you sit down, you be comfortable, you feel like you at home, and guess what? You get up and you take 12 steps this way and you get to practicing. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, but ownership is something different. The NBA is primarily, like, you kind of look around and be like, it's new money. NFL is damn sure old money. NFL is damn sure old money. Like, right. I mean, because we can go look like, to my Bob Kraft, and a lot of people don't put the connection together. I'm like, bro, Kraft. You know what I'm saying? We talking about the Steelers. Hines. It's in the name. You know what I'm saying? All of that stuff. So NFL is holding itself back because I think it's holding is a lot of resentment and a lot of feeling towards these guys, to where they really feel like you are the new slave or the $40 million slave, as Bill Roden put it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
If you really look at it, look at the whole total package when it comes to the NFL. Old money all the way across
right.
The board. You look at the old money and you look at the players. They shift and maneuver players like pieces on the chessboard. You see what I'm saying? They want, think I'm going to take you back to Vic. Vic did something no quarterback ever did. He was the first mobile quarterback, the fastest quarterback to maneuver in the backfield for Atlanta. When they found out what he could do and the star status shot up, guess what? We got to shut him down. You know why? Because he's taking.
That nigga got on Fox 5 and said, I'm Mike Vick. Everybody love me. His punk ass was locked up 2 days later. He'll pass him for getting for
well,
purpose.
But to your point, like, I don't think he was the first person to do what he was doing. Randall Cunningham was doing the same thing. But the game wasn't there yet. Like, coaches weren't willing to adjust.
True.
And the game was still fairly regional. So you had to be in Philly. You had to be in that northeastern corridor to see what Randall Cunningham was doing. Otherwise, you're just going to, you know, you might catch it Monday Night Football or something like that. When Vic was coming around, the game is opening up. ESPN, Monday Night Football is booming. You know what I'm saying? You got the game of the week. We got Thursday Night Football, Saturday Night Football, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. And you could market the guy better, and now everybody's like, oh, damn, this is dope. You know what I'm saying? And they looking around like, yo, this is wild. We can do this.
But if you look at it from this perspective. When Vic did what he did, you're right, Randall Cunningham was the man. But when you look at Vic and everything that he did, the records that he broke, when he started to boost up in the spotlight, he took away from all the white quarterbacks. He took away from... You had white kids wearing Vic jerseys all over the stadium everywhere you went.
Right.
When a man of that stature, a black man of that stature, reached that level, guess what?
Well, you got to take him down. I do agree with that. But at the same time, I also, like, Mike Vic helped in his own demise. And that's a whole different
story. He did.
And that goes to, like, part of Jay Rieske's point, you know what I'm saying? As he so eloquently put it, part of his to his point, but you know, like he helped in his own demise. But the NFL and the NBA are the ownership is different. I think the like I said because the ownership is newer money in the NBA. You have these dudes; they look like the old money in the NBA in the NFL, but they're more progressive because of how they got to their money. You know what I'm saying? How they got to that money, so. Now I'm willing to take more risk. Now I'm willing to take more chances and do more stuff.
When it comes to the NFL, like Jerry Jones, this man built a, what, $2 billion stadium. He didn't care about the money, but he was looking for a championship. When he didn't get it, guess what? Did it affect him? He got the type of money that, guess what, that'll sustain him no matter what happened.
Right.
He can afford to say, you know what? I can make Dak Prescott the highest paid player in the NFL.
But at the same time, a lot of these dudes have got, in terms of the NFL, these owners have gotten to where they are because they don't want to give up no money. And that's evident. Like, look how they reacted to this whole thing with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson got this fully guaranteed contract, and I promise you, if you go to anybody's newspaper, Baltimore, D.C., Pittsburgh, anywhere where there's an NFL franchise, and they start talking to the general manager or the owner, they done messed up. They messed up the money. Everybody threw their hands up at the same time, like, man, damn. They done messed up the money. You know what I'm saying? And now you can't just have one. You can't just have one fully guaranteed contract. Everybody, look at Lamar Jackson right now, is going to come up and say, oh, this dude ain't played in 2 years. He got a fully 250 fully guaranteed. I was the MVP when he forced to stop. I need mine fully loaded too. Same way. But owners don't want to do that, and owners fear that the team owners fear that, and so what they wind up doing, they gonna have to cut it out somehow or some way. Like it's up to the players union is up to a lot of these agents to try to keep that fully guaranteed money going, but you can damn sure rest assured that a lot of these team owners are going to try to cut that down. They're going you don't get too used to this fully guaranteed stuff. It ain't going to happen too long. So yeah, Once again, you are tuned in to the Commissioner's Conversation. I am your host, Commissioner Gordon. We're live out here at Blends 2, that's 632 South Central Avenue here in Hakeville. I encourage everyone to come out. We're here every Monday. The doors open up at 7 o'clock. We go sometimes to 11 o'clock. Sometimes if the conversation is good, we go to 12 o'clock, and Tamika be trying to cut the lights off on us. She don't cut the lights off on us. She knows. That's my people. My guy, DJ Unique, is here with me every Monday. That's my DJ. In the back, we are having Chef Unk. Chef Unk is outside hooking up. The grease is probably getting hot right now as we speak. So he's hooking up. He got some wings. He has some catfish. You know what I'm saying? He got some fries. You know what I'm saying? Unk going to hook you up. So, yeah, we gonna keep this thing rolling, man. What I also want to do is I want to shout out Garlito. Jay Rieske is in the building. Jay Rieske. My guy, Mike, Big Mike, from Can I Kick It? Yo, I will always say I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Just coming back, showing love. I think that you can kind of measure how people feel about the show, about it. Like if you really rock with it, if you come back and you participate and you hang out, you know what I'm saying, do all that. And just to see you, and I talk to Fox a lot, you know what I'm saying, going up, we just chop it up. So I talk to him a lot, man. We chop it up, just you know, on some other, like, we'll just send each other, like, different, you know what I'm saying, reels and stuff like that. So, yeah, I appreciate y'all for coming back, following through. And I always encourage everybody to come through. I got my guy, Fly. Swag Official. We're going to talk about Swag Official, too. I want to get into that, man. I have a bunch of different people. But I have to stop and say it's a young lady's birthday in here right now. You do not want him to sing for you. Miss Kimberly Barty. I want to make sure I'm saying it right, Barty. It's her birthday. And we're going to celebrate before we, because I'm about to let DJ Unique do his thing for a second. But before I let him do his thing, I do want to tell you that in honor of your celebration, in honor of your birthday, that I personally am going into my Greenwood whiskey stash, and I will present you with a bottle of Greenwood whiskey for your birthday, courtesy of the Commissioner's crew and the Commissioner's Conversation. So definitely, we love you. We thank you. We encourage you to come on out. We chopped it up. Happy birthday once again. And many, many more. And have a blessed birthday. I want it to be the best birthday ever. So I want to start it out with Greenwood Whiskey. So right now, I want DJ Unique, I want you to crank up real quick. And then we are going to come back. We got a lot of guests lined up. We got a lot of talking to do, man. We got a lot of chop up. We still gonna keep talking about these NBA playoffs. It ain't over. But I also want to network, and I want to get a lot of these individuals I want to put them in front of you, so you can see how dope everybody is. Cause I want to get everybody to talk to everybody in this building right now today. So DJ Unique, let's go, my brother.
Commissioner Gordon.
Once again, happy birthday, Kim. We are here at Blends 2, that's 632 South Central Avenue in Hapeville. For the second time, back again, my guy, Mike from Can I Kick It, man. I appreciate you. Like, I see all the stuff y'all got going on, man, and I am, like, I'm not a sneakerhead per se. I just love sneakers. You know what I'm saying?
You're a sneakerhead then. You got
enough
pairs in the closet.
You
be called a sneakerhead.
I got about 30, 40 pair of shoes. I ain't gonna lie.
We talked about that last time. You qualified.
You know what I'm saying? What you say, Lico?
Bro, I'm finna tell on you, Commissioner Gordon. Hey, man, I done known this man for a long ass time. Why this nigga? be at lunch at 12 o'clock with them new J's on, I promise.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I promise.
Yeah.
I promise he going to have the new one by 12 o'clock. For lunch time.
No, no, no.
You gonna see going tall and that goddamn pimping through the hallway.
I did not have
Bobo. Brand new. Every pill.
I did not have Bobos. Nope.
So for him to come in here talking about he ain't no sneakerhead, I don't know how, nigga, because you had missed half a day of school for goddamn right. Jordan's whole career.
So, but yeah, man, I see what you got going on, man. And everything that you doing is dope. And I appreciate you for bringing your squad in, man. And we had a good conversation earlier. I wish I was mad as hell because I was like, damn, we should have been taping this.
Yeah.
We was up in the front. Like, I'm like, damn. I want to be like, hold it, save it.
You got to almost tell a nigga to shut up.
But we going to get. No.
Save it for the pod.
I already know how they get down. After we get ready to finish promoting everybody, we're going to get back into the doggone NBA.
Okay.
And I want these opinions to come right back out. The same stuff we were talking about before. Ain't nothing changed. I see. They ain't forgot what they said.
Okay.
they already know.
Do we have some controversial opinions?
It's a couple.
Yeah, I got one
because
I'm the first round draft pick. That shit to the Atlanta Hawks, bro.
We're in bad shape.
That's how fucked up it is.
No. We ain't in no bad shape because that ain't our number one pick.
I'm going to be the center.
But yeah, I want you, first of all, I want all of y'all to introduce yourselves. You know what I'm saying? I want everybody to introduce themselves, kind of what you got going on, what you're doing. And I want to get into Can I Kick It? Because we touched on it a little bit last week. A lot of people heard what we were doing and they wanted to know more. And I want you to tell them everything that's going on around the city.
Gotcha. Yeah. Main event wise, I'll go ahead and kind of throw this in before we get to introductions. Coming up, we have a couple events. One of them is going to be the DeKalb Art in the Park. That'll be on the 28th of this month. It is in partnership with the Georgia Spartans. So they'll be doing the Art in the Park. You can come out. It's going to be an all-white event.
Okay.
So, you know, come out, get jazzed up, you know, and come enjoy yourself, enjoy some art, some music, some food.
What part?
It's DeKalb. DeKalb part. You remember the part? He can look it up real quick. I don't remember the exact part. Or
gotta
the address,
say the exact part.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
Because we're going everybody to pull up.
Yeah, we're going to make sure y'all get that. You're going to be at the
where the park at then?
Man, come on. Everybody shooting bad.
Basketball. It's a basketball. Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm going to get y'all that exact address for
nigga
sure.
Nigga just insert himself in the conversation. Get your goddamn ass on up out of here, man.
What park is it?
Exchange.
Okay.
Okay. Y'all know I'm not from Atlanta, so you know I don't know all the landmarks, all the parks. But
Amarillo got sure a nigga got well, making that shit clear. Make it clear.
Well, what wind up happening is a lot of these parks and a lot of these rec centers, they all changed their names over the past few years. Like I knew it as Adamsville Rec for the longest time, and then somebody told me they was at CT Vivian, and I was like, "You was who?"
But I just heard that. Like, I swear I just heard that name like 2 weeks ago.
I was
ago.
Like. Like and about, I pulled up. I said, nigga, you at Adamsville
Rec. I said, where is it? They talking about, you know, right there on MLK. I said, you talking about Adamsville?
Right, you at Adamsville Rec. So, yeah, a lot of these places are changing their name due to, you know, just they doing a little re-imaging.
Yeah, they trying. Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? Gentrification.
Give me the date again.
Good job, big boy.
Give me the date again.
May 28th. That's going to be the weekend you're talking about, Memorial Day weekend, May 28th. So make sure y'all come out to that. And then also Sunday, May 29th, we'll be at the Vintage Connection Con. That's going to be at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Okay.
So make sure y'all come out to that, too.
Right. And then back here on Monday.
So we got y'all whole weekend lined up.
Because we doing it again
sure we
on Monday.
Up back at the commissioner's conversation.
Definitely. Nah, man. You handling that business, man. I like this. Put me on game, G. What's going on with this?
So you weren't here the last time. So he came in with my guy Fox. They came in. They had a whole display. They had the sneaker Fox. You know, sneaker Fox. They had the sneaker displays. So all the latest and greatest shoes. All these sneaker conventions you talking about going to. All these different. You want to buy, sell, trade. You want to do all this stuff. These are the people that you want to be in the know. Cause it's like I said, it's a new shoe dropping. About every other day. You know what I'm saying? And. You want to follow somebody, all you got to do is go to Can I Kick It? At Can I Kick It? You know what I'm saying? And they got you. They keep you posted. They keep you ready to go. You know what I'm saying? So, once again, I want you to just kind of go through everything that's with your guys.
I'm gonna shoot it to the real mastermind. Let him introduce himself. He really the reason why this is going on. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, everyone. After evening, how's everybody doing?
What's up,
big dog?
All right. I go by the name of Terry Tetris, the other half of Can I Kick It. If you don't know, it's a family-owned business. This is my real blood family. This is my nephew. Been with me since he was this yeah. And basically, I got a bunch of other nephews and brothers around Atlanta that I kind of came in. And, you know, family is who you choose to be, you know, so that's one of the things that's been kind of integral in us is we've been networking and building pretty much all across the country over the last 7 years. So Can I Kick It was a project that was started as a business for myself and my nephews once I retired from the Army back in 2015. And I asked them what they wanted to do, and they said sneakers. So I was like, okay, well, if we're going to do sneakers, we're going to do it a little different. So versus just traditional trying to buy, sell, flip sneakers, the kind of things you see today, we kind of explored the other side of it. Where does the sneaker meet the rest of the culture? Because, you know, we old school hip hop fans. I remember you saying... Yep. Basically, back in the day, you would skip school to go get the latest Jordans. Then you would come back to school with those Jordans on. You know what I'm saying? That was the play, and that's how you knew you would fly. So that's the sneaker culture that I came from and kind of imparted on to my nephews. My other nephew, who is Brax, is the third member. He's a recording artist here in Atlanta. You know, so we what we wanted to do, or what I set out to do, was kind of break away from the traditional commercialism of just buying and selling sneakers and explore the art side of it, explore the culture and how it connects to everything else that we do. Sneakers is an integral part of everybody's life. Everybody's got a pair of kicks. Whether you call yourself a sneakerhead or not, you know, everybody's wearing sneakers. So basically, as we said, it intersects with hip hop, it intersects with sports, it intersects with pop culture, Marvel movies, anything that you see, sneakers comes into play with that. So what we do is find ways to intersect it with art, creativity, designers. We work with a bunch of designers across the country, a bunch of artists. We do art activations and installations. We've been everywhere from LA at the Artist Sneakers and Complex Con. We've done events out there. We've done events at the Nassau Coliseum with the Long Island Nets. So that's kind of stuff we've been doing over the years. And the biggest thing is they call me Terry Tetris because I'm a block builder. So I connect people, introduce people, and help build businesses together. So some of the people that I brought with me today is part of my squad and my crew. I always like to keep the young bulls around because they keep me fresh.
Keep you fresh,
And speaking of fresh, so my young bull to my right here is young Nick Mitchell. I'll let him introduce himself. But he has a brand called Fresh Kicks Market. Yeah. I did.
I'm just fucking with you.
I'm going to pass that on, Michael.
All right. So I'm Nick Mitchell. You know, I've known Terry and Can I Kick It for 2 years. So I curate Fresh Kicks Market. So it's basically a sneaker trade show, buy, sell, trade, same, you know, thing that you were talking about just now. But so I've done 3 shows right now. The Vintage Connect Con that he's talking about, we're currently partnered with them. We'll have a sneaker basically section at, you know, Vintage Connect Con. So it'll be 30 tables of sneaker vendors and stuff like that. But other than curating sneaker shows, I'm a serial entrepreneur, own a commercial truck right now, own a rental car business as well. So just trying to, you know, make my name in Atlanta right now.
Shoot, you doing it. And where y'all brothers from? Where y'all brothers from?
Oh, I'm from Atlanta. Well, I'm from Lithonia. I say like that. I'm from east side of Atlanta.
Man, listen. Yeah.
Commissioner Gordon.
Sneakerhead, the kind of hype beast, you know what I'm saying?
100%.
And anybody can be a sneaker guy right now. Like, all you got to do is go to your phone. You can go to StockX and all that other little stuff. And you don't have to actually live the culture anymore. You know what I'm saying? It used to be you lived the culture. I know a dude who he was all in the SBs, and he wasn't really a skateboarder, but he was rocking all the SB, everything they had. He was a Skater Nation. You wouldn't be able to tell that he wasn't a skater, but he was rocking it. You know what I'm saying? But now a lot of that stuff has blown up to where it's become very popular, and now you don't have to look for it. You don't have to hang out where they hang. You don't have to go to the stores where they shop. You can just go on your phone and just all of a sudden, I got a pair of shoes.
What I would say is that the culture is kind of changing and shifted, right? Whereas we were the the progenitors of the culture. We birthed this culture and the sneaker culture. We all know where it started with hip hop up in New York and shell toes, skellies. We all all know the history of it, but it's as everything, it's turned into a global phenomenon. You're talking about a $1 billion business, and what's happening, anytime you have a $1 billion business, you're gonna have a business term called arbitrage, where people are reselling. If you have a product, it's hot, I'm gonna buy your product and resell it somewhere else. People have $1 million businesses on Amazon and eBay just by reselling other people's products. So the sneaker business has become that on steroids, basically. But the culture has shifted and changes. It's more inclusive now. There are different parts of it that get away from where it started, but it also expands out as well. Whereas we were just drawing on sneakers back in our day, or just sketching and drawing sneakers. One of my business partners has a brand called Air Jordan Coloring Book. We're 60-something thousand books sold on Amazon right now. Have a Air Max edition, and that was really his brainchild of us growing up drawing sneakers, and now he was able to create a product and bring it into the marketplace. So it's kind of just expanded and changed over from just collecting sneakers or just rocking sneakers. You still have a lot of traditionalists in it, but you have a lot of young guys in it. And they're in the, again, it's synonymous with everything. If you watch WWE, I can't think of what's the wrestler that's always rocking the kicks on WWE. Yeah, you know, if you watch a Marvel movie, the Miles Morales Spider-Man, you'll see him wearing
when the Jordan 1s.
Yeah.
I even watched, there was something, somebody had a post on Instagram where I think the original Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They had the Jordan 6s.
Yes.
Yeah, the Jordan 6s. They had the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Right. That's what I saw.
Yeah.
And that goes to your point that it's all into everything. Like, the sneaker culture has grown so much from just being something that's comfortable that you can go out, you can run, you can train, you can, you know, do all the cross training, you know, all that. Up until the point where
way more part of like lifestyle,
and now like okay, and I pointed out my son was just DJing. It was a seersucker suit event for 9th and 10th graders.
Wow,
at his school,
mm-hmm.
Every kid that walked up, still dressed nicely,
had on sneakers. Yeah, it's becoming ingrained in the culture. As part of just the wardrobe, it's even more big overseas. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm saying I ain't mean to cut y'all, but I don't think like dope boys get enough credit for the sneaker culture. Cause
no, they really do not. Well, I mean, just think about when we were coming up, the Nike Cortez, that's what we called them, was dope.
Dope man Nike.
You know what I'm
saying?
You know, like,
dope man Nike.
Air Force One.
Nobody
Nike Cortez.
Invested in tennis shoes like dope boys.
Reebok ExoFits.
Like, niggas was wearing hard bottoms in the street.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
For real. Rayon Silk One Packets.
Yeah. Stacey
Hard bottoms.
Yeah.
With the Apple hat.
The biggest push, where do hip hop artists get their style and swag from the streets, right?
Yeah.
So that's where those two connect at, and that's why hip-hop pushes the sneaker culture right now, as well as where the athletes get their culture from, the hip-hop artists.
Right.
So it's all feeding into each other. It's now more inclusive, where you have the overseas sneaker culture. You haven't seen anything until
Japan,
you've seen the overseas sneaker culture.
Them folk go
yeah,
so
and like I said, it's
Japan.
Not just the sneakers, it's the the clothing,
yeah,
the art, everything
they got
else.
All of that for me.
What's up, Reese?
So check this out.
Is it on?
So the influence.
Man, you been here. This ain't your first rodeo. Get the microphone.
Hold on.
And I'm gonna be quiet because I'm full. All right, so look. When you think about hip hop, right? The four different elements of hip hop. DJing, dancing, you know, all of the above, right? Why is it, like, all y'all got fucking J's on, right? Y'all embrace the culture, you feel me? I only seen Commissioner without J's one time. That's when we went to the NFL alumni. He had some penny loafers on, looking like Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? But why is it that, like,
loafers.
Our culture, there was some loafers. But it's like, why is it that, like, everything that we touch, right, music, dancing, clothing, shoes, you know what I'm saying? Nobody branded that. You know what I mean? Nobody, like, Coca-Cola is a fucking brand. Pepsi is a brand. It's like we'll get into the game. Man, like, hip-hop is the number one selling music even to this day.
But we don't control country. We don't control the shoe industry. And we don't control that.
That's a hell of a point. Plus the fact that what we're trying to do now is get to that point, because like my man here was just saying, he's designing. You know what I'm saying? We got a bunch of street designers, because it was always happening. We always, from the very beginning, was swapping out laces, was swapping, doing all kind of stuff, all kind of modifications to the shoes. But now we're getting to the point where you got guys airbrushing. You got guys who are tagging their stuff, who are making sure you know that they're doing. And you have a lot of these shoe companies that are doing collabs.
But you know what, though? When you look at graffiti, back in the 80s, they was tagging their stuff, you know, it's on trains. You know, it was outlawed almost. And it's to the point now, like, you go to Atlanta, you go to Lil 5, you got a mural, Outkast. You go to Edgewood, you got Good Trouble, John Lewis, you got Stacey Abrams. So, you know, it's something that is like, man, you know, I ain't no racist, but white folks want airbrush and shit. White folks want breakdance, and they got into it after, you know, we made it popular. So,
well,
it's just like,
I don't think there's any question on that. You know, we move the culture of all cultures. Yeah, we are the originators of everything. I'm not even going to get started, you know, and break it down and start going back to Kemet and things like that. We're not going to have those conversations. So, you know.
Hey, man, that
we are the progenitors of all culture, basically. We move the needle. That's why whatever you see these hip-hop artists do,
we control the cool.
The what we don't control and what we haven't been doing is controlling industries.
There we go.
And that's what we need to get into. And that starts with basic entrepreneurship.
Hold up, Mike. No, go ahead.
That's what I was gonna touch on. The biggest thing is, I kind of tapped on it last time, but they know how to formulate and do their stuff structured. We more so want the credit. We wouldn't even care about the monetizing it.
It ain't even that, bro. It's just they got the machine. It's that simple. But if we had the machine, all these creative ideas like what the brother got would be on the shelf. It's that simple. We have to flip the leverage, and that's what the brother right here is speaking on. You know what I mean? Because, like, it ain't the reason for what you saying is just simply because they got the machine. They got the machine.
We are the machine, though. It's taking black people.
I mean, the physical machine that and infrastructure of the industry built out. That's what I'm saying.
That's really what it comes down to, is, like you said, we have to support our own. This young brother is being modest back here, but basically he has designed parts of every single Reebok movie franchise shoe that's came out over the last 2.5 years. Jurassic Park, Despicable Me, Minions, Power Rangers, Ghostbusters. He's in meetings with these Hollywood execs while they're collaborating with Reebok, deciding what they want. We just did we're doing a collaboration with D. Brown. I remember y'all remember OG D. Brown?
Yeah,
Celtics,
pump.
Yeah. He drew a picture of him, you know, doing the famous dunk. And we sent it to him, and he reached out, and he was like, yo, this is everything. Yeah. One of his designs, Shaq put it on a basketball course. He did the Candyland Reeboks. He designed the shoebox. Shaq took that shoebox and put it on a Boys and Girls Club here in Atlanta out there. So, you know, supporting black creators, like you said, there's plenty of independent black brands that have sneakers. It's a female goes by the name of Track Baby. She has a... Tronis is her sneaker brand. She's a semi-pro football player, female, and she has
LFL?
One.
LFL?
No.
Oh, I feel the same. Oh, no. Hey, you lit up when I said that.
You playing? But if you go to her Instagram, she's nasty. I mean, I tell you, she's nice.
Yeah.
She'll take a bunch of brothers. You know what I'm saying? On it. So, but she has her own independent sneaker brand, and we have to support those things just same as we support these things, like
right,
you said.
Right, right.
But
well, have you heard of the Caillou's? Cool Kai? You heard of
that? That's one of them. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying. Like, there's another brand.
I want to support that brand. SIA, I like
Collective. SIA Collective out of the Bay, out of Oakland.
So, along with, you know, the sneaker industry changing, there's some good stuff that's happening too.
Right.
So, like, there's black creatives that's creating their own brands and stuff like that, and we need to get those forward-facing for our people. And, like, right now, Cool Kai is really doing his thing.
I'm talking about killing this shit, and they fresh.
And that's why I want guys to follow you all, because you all are in the forefront. You are ahead of the curve on all of that. Because,
most definitely. Because okay, we all think sneaker culture. We all think sneaker culture.
What vision, I don't know, or plan or anything in the direction of getting some infrastructure?
It starts
your
with
own, like the shit Kanye was bitching
with right here. Honestly, the problem that I found with a lot of the younger generation. That's why when I find young men like Nick Mitchell that get the vision and understand it and have the business acumen to see past the me generation. I tied that shoe. I made that shirt. I did this. And you can do a lot of things by yourself, but you can do more things together. You know. Right. And once we break out of that mindset of individualism and this and that, there's somebody that can support everybody in this room.
And
right,
it's
right,
enough money.
Right now. The birthday girl has got so much information about stuff that she hadn't even talked about. She probably could, if anybody got some credit issues, I'm pretty sure she could sit down and she right. can run you through that, which is the basis for even building a business, is to start with the credit. We are a collective. We share information. As I was building my business credit, when he first started his LLC, I was just feeding him information like, yo, apply for this net 30. Yo, make sure you have it done in Bradstreet. Yo, this, and passing that information. He's turned around and passed
like
that.
Yeah, they like that done in Bradstreet.
It's gotten to the point where I honestly think his business credit has probably surpassed mine because, like he said, he put an 18-wheeler truck in his business name. Yeah. I never forget he pulled up to my house with his Honda Accord that he leased on his business. He was so happy he pulled up. I was like, oh, that's fresh. And I could see the grin on his face, and he was like,
it's my business. It's
under the business, you know. And I know people that's been in business for years
and
still don't have a car in their business, a vehicle in their business name. So it's just things like that. And having that network of people that you can trust, you know, you can't do business with everybody you can't trust, but you can always share information. You can network. No man is an island. I shouldn't hoard any information that I have. We should be sharing it freely and passing game on as it goes. So,
true. And once again, like I said, I want the social medias, man. I think everybody just follow everybody.
Social media, I always say, can I kick it though? You can find us there. If you just type can I kick it, you're going to get us. You'll see our mascot Quest, a little smiley face with X eyes. You know, you can online.
Y'all got in with that. Y'all was able to get that can I kick it. So
yeah, cool. And not on that, we own canikickit.com. So, and then we, you know, we have our trademark pending. Because a lot of people have been biting our style over the years. So, you know, we had to cut that out. But canikickit.com, you can check us out. We have a lot of unique products on there. Like I said, the Air Jordan coloring book. We have sneaker art. And then I'll let you pass on BWE_works. It's his Instagram. Again, he's a graphic designer for hire as well. So, again, I can't even begin to tout this guy's resume. He released a deck of playing cards called the Soul Deck, and it was a tribute basically to Air Max. So he created original characters to take the place of the Jack, the Queen, the King, the Ace of Spades. And it's on his Instagram page. You can check it out. That's released it in a limited run.
BWE_works.
Works, right? Correct. Yep. We took it out to L.A., when I tell you, everybody in L.A. ate it up when they saw it. From Jeff Staples, we gave him a deck. A bunch of execs up at Complex, they were just like, oh, my God, who created this? Why hasn't Nike done this? You know, and again, that's a black designer. So he is available for hire for
BWE,
you know,
what?
_ works.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go ahead and plug in Fresh Kicks Market.
Of course.
Yeah, Fresh Kicks Market. Kicks with a Z. So Fresh Kicks Market. Like I said, we're going to be partnering with Vintage Connect Con at the end of the month, May 29th. We're doing a Fresh Kicks Market.
I'm already following you.
Vintage Connect Con. So,
one of the guys,
beat up
Fly. One of the guys that I wanted to bring in here today because he kind of incorporates a lot of the things that we're just talking about. We're talking about everything from the culture. We're talking about from the shoes. We're talking about from the apparel. Everything there is my guy Fly from Swag Official. And I want you, you know what I'm saying, to kind of talk about everything that you got going on. Because we also, you know, we music. You want to do that one? Okay.
Yeah, let's switch.
Yeah, we're talking about the music. We're talking about apparel. We're talking about everything in terms of culture. I love the fact that we move the needle for culture, and we set the trends, maintain the trends, because we can't be duplicated. Like, so I want you to talk about everything you have going on with Swag Official, everything you have going on personally.
So I'll start by saying this: Swag Official, that's my brand.
Start it up.
Swag Official is my brand. What it was just during my military service, I was deployed, and I ran into a partner of mine who was a contractor that I was working with. And when we was connected and vibing, we realized we had ties to Atlanta. So he was a little bit older than me, and he was always talking about, you know, generational wealth, something that we can pass down to our children. And he was like, let's create something together. And that birthed Swag Official. So the whole idea behind Swag Official is like pretty much like what you was just explaining. It's no different than what Gunna did with Pushing P. It's pretty much that concept when you say Swag Official. So for us, all it is just being true to yourself. I guess you can call it a mantra or something like that. So when people see it and they ask, what is Swag Official? I guess you could say it's a way of life for us. Like I said, just a saying. So what had happened with that is once we decided to put on a t-shirt, it grew from there. We had no intentions of turning it into a clothing line, apparel, or merch. It's just, when everybody seen the logo, unfortunately, I'm not wearing a shirt today, but I do have the socks. This is our logo right here.
Talking about.
But if you can see it, yeah, it's on it was on our shirts, and people gravitate to it and just ask, what is it? What is it about? And we just explain to them what I just said. It's just about being true to yourself at all times. Because, like all of us in here know, you know, when certain people get in certain circles or certain areas or certain statuses, of success, they don't stay true to themselves.
Right.
You know, I thought you was this, but you really that. So the time that I met you, that was a Swag Official moment, because here it is 4 years later, you know, you still remember me, you still remember my name, you still remember the brand.
And I'm still rocking the hats.
Yeah. And you allow me to come on your platform. So far as what I got going on, I'm just doing the music side of things with it. My partner that I was telling y'all about, he actually made a full-fledged clothing line with it, which is called Swag Official Clothing Empire. Okay. So if you guys want to check that out, I got to look on the page, but I think he keeps on switching the damn URL. I think it's like soeclothing.com. And that's what he did with it, and what I'm doing with it, I just made a label out of it. So that's my extent of Swag Official.
Okay. Yeah, once again, man, listen, want everyone to go out and follow it and check out the merch, check out the movement, check out the music, and support, because that's what we're here to do. We want to support each other.
And where you from, B-Dot?
I consider myself from Atlanta. I'm a military brat, because you know how it is, been all around the world. But Atlanta's always been home to me.
That's right.
But yeah, once again, this is what we do. Yeah, from Atlanta, and I have somebody, I don't own the rights to it. Somebody, I can't remember the gentleman's name. I met him quite a few times, but he has the Atlanta Influences Everything apparel, and I often wear the shirt, and I was like, but I wear it not because I'm supporting him, because I really don't know him, but I wear it because I believe that, like, in this area, like, we all, this is one spot that controls and that influences a lot of places, because you can't go anywhere without seeing the influences that we've touched. New York has had that influence. Chicago's had that influence. LA has had that influence. And Atlanta's having that influence. And so I always want to get guys who are very creative and try to put them in a platform of, like, to show that creativity, because
we need
it. We do. And it's because a lot of our culture gets stolen from us, and they'll have you thinking that you don't know nothing. Like, you don't know anything. You didn't create this. They'll have you thinking that they were out in the field, yeah, and they were doing
in the
some
South.
Of,
yeah.
Right.
That's why Three Stacks was so adamant back in the day that the South got something to say. But, you know, they've been stealing our style across the country for years and not giving Atlanta credit.
That's a fact. That's
Hollywood divorce.
That's a fact.
Right.
James Brown was the first record
And that.
That's why we need to brand this, man. Everything that we have, like hip hop, all that. See, white folk like Eminem and Third Base and all them, they can just walk in and
not
shit.
Not Third Base.
Right.
Bro, we can't walk like Jack Harlow. We just can't walk in they shit.
Right,
like
right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We just like so given. Hey, my nigga, come, white boy, come take all our shit. You know what I mean? Well,
but see, but don't talk down on the godly characteristic of giving, because that's, we the gods. So it never takes nothing away from us to give. It never removes our dopeness or creativity.
I've given
or
away so many $1 million ideas that,
and
I can shit another one when I go home.
As soon as you feel like it. So that's a part of the God.
But also,
in you.
Also, what happens is, like, for we generations have been trained to believe a certain thing, think a certain
like
way.
Like it's only room for one black person
exactly.
at a time.
Exactly. And that's one of the gifts of social media. Like we can all see that wow. I'm similar to you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not the only one with this idea. I'm not the only one that grew up this way. I'm not the only one that had these these thoughts. And we can see that and now the world is closer, the world is smaller. And we can form together to say, damn, like, okay,
they print up enough money for all of us,
right? We can push forward together, and like you said, it doesn't just have to be just me. I don't have to try to trip you up on the way to the meeting, so you will get there late, and I can pitch the idea before you get there.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So I applaud everyone here. Because that's what we are doing. That's what we have. Like, even with the young lady beside you, Kiwi. Kiwi.
Kiwi.
Kiwi is doing everything.
What she buy, Shawty? Tell me what she buy. Shawty.
She got everything under.
This is tropical.
Your favorite fruit snack.
I'm actually allergic to kiwi. But that's enough.
Leave the leak out.
I actually break the fuck out in this month. But it's okay. What'd you say now?
But she has books. She has music. She has all of it. And she's doing video shoots.
Music books or just books?
And books music? And music.
Okay. Now that's hard.
And so, I want
you
to
a writer.
So
you a writer.
Yeah. My G is your favorite fruit snack, just like it sounds.
Like your favorite fruit snack, just like it.
I like
sound.
That.
Swag official, like that. Hey, your favorite fruit snack, just like it sounds.
Hold on.
Your favorite fruit snack.
Hold on. No. Now,
don't talk about food.
It's gonna be different, but tell them the name of the book.
Oh, yes. So, and you can also follow online. It's called The Ride of Your Life.
The Ride of Your Life.
Yeah.
What this book about, Kiwi?
Your favorite fruit snack.
No, actually.
Y'all ain't shit, man.
It's about the ride of your life. It's about choosing your destination along your journey of life, being aware of distractions, being in tune with your GPS, which is your general practical sense.
Acronyms.
Come
on.
I'm big on acronyms.
Okay.
It's about basically, the different type of travelers. Like you have your, people that kind of, got like a silver spoon. They might be, flying. They might be first class flying, same destination. Then you have your people who are driving in a car, they're driving on a bus, maybe less comfortable, same destination. And then you have your hitchhikers, people who are just kind of tagging along. And then you have people who are just roaming on the road, your reckless drivers. So all of that, it falls into, a large analogy about how how to navigate the ride of your life and how to choose your destination.
I get it. Very metaphorical. It's all kind of way to get to the same way, the same location.
Yeah.
Don't think because you ain't flying and you riding that you still can't get to California.
Well, I think people know that. I think we're I want to give like, you know, readers especially enough credit. It's more about people that have goals choosing, because a lot of times, especially younger people, because, you know, I say you can read it as young as like 13, at the age of 13. But, you know, you have to choose. A lot of people go in life and they kind of go with what is presented to them, or what is what resources that they already have access to, versus making a conscious effort to choose a path and choosing what your impact will be in the world. So,
hey man, let me tell you something, man. I ain't think you were gonna come like that, Shawty. I'm proud of you.
Surprise.
I'm proud of you.
No,
your home grad going.
No, he did not. Thank you for talking about no fruit.
With your greed at. But no, that's. But I like it because it just forces you to be imaginative about what could be. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
and that's cool.
You got to be a conscious creator. You know, I mean, they have a narrative and a path set out for you, but if you don't choose, you know what I'm saying? You can fall in line. There's a place for you. You know what I mean? But if you choose,
because even if you don't choose, that's a choice too, ain't it?
Yeah, yep. Most definitely.
Also discuss some of the music that you have going on.
For me.
What?
So I got a lot of new music coming out. I have a project. It's called Smoke Dries Tears, and basically it's like riding music, you know. So like if you're or chill.
Smoke Dries Tears.
Yes.
She knows how to pick a name.
Right. You know what I'm saying? That's the marketing of it.
Geek,
that's the
geek, and you ain't gonna cry about none of that shit. That's what she said.
It's the night. Yeah.
Boy, you got Reggie Packs.
What? I'm crying now.
Boy, you smoke.
Hold on. Dirt. What do you have the pick for?
Oh,
shit. I was gonna say.
That's the only thing. I ain't got no half of them on my face.
Boy.
So back to you, Kiwi. Smoke Dries Tears.
Yeah. And basically, yeah, like I said, it's writing music, so you know. But it's not sad. It's not like to, you know, it's like.
It sounds like some high shit.
It's vibe. It's a high vibe.
AKA.
It's a high vibe. High vibrational.
Are you a rapper? Or are you a singer?
I'm a singer and a writer. Okay. So. I am a high vibrational being.
I am a high vibrational being.
It's an algorithm. So, once again,
she just got y'all niggas all the way together.
Where can we hear it? Where can we download it, stream it? All of the above.
So,
who you put it out with? TuneCore, CD Baby, or DistroKid?
United Masters.
That's what I was finna say, Nick.
Yeah.
How has your experience been fucking with them?
Awesome, pretty just straightforward, and you know, you get 100%, so there's nothing wrong with that.
So, once again, your favorite fruit snack,
at your favorite fruit snack,
just like it
and
sounds,
you can just click the link on my bio. Like, pretty much everything is on there, you know, all platforms, Apple, YouTube, all that.
And the name of your book again,
The Ride of Your Life. And there's also an Instagram page, The Ride of Your Life book.
The Ride of Your Life. Look, that.
Right. So, choose how you going and your destination. And
I was finna cut to my DJ, but he out there getting a little food, okay. I guess.
DJ Home.
Can I also mention my.
Unique!
Hold on, no. Go ahead.
My men's clothing line. I know I'm stepping in a lane, but, you know, we all have an eye. And
you making skinny jeans?
No. That's actually something that I'm shying away from. I do not like y'all's pants.
I just went to the store one day and the men's section was like it is now.
No.
Your kneecaps too fat for some skinny jeans.
No, I'm just, you right. That's why I don't wear. But I do wear jeans that fit me. Now, them goddamn drapes you over there goddamn sloshing around in, you feel me? But now what I'm saying is help us. Cause the men's section fucked up.
Yeah, no. I try to pick things that are for more so the everyday male that The everyday male. I'll just put it like that.
Hold on.
So what when you're designing clothes, like what? So
who is the everyday male?
Yes.
Well, okay, so casual wear, from casual wear, business wear, street wear.
You designing this shit
wear,
I got on?
Not more so that, like, now we're getting into the summer stuff. So, you know, we got a lot of shorts, you know, hats, you know, even flip-flops, like, you know, all the little beach slides wear type stuff. You know, matching towels so you can get your whole little feng shui going on, you know. You're doing a little, if you're an artist, definitely check it out because you can get you a whole video shoot thing going on just with the fly gear. But, yeah.
Where can we find the menswear? Yeah, what?
It's called Black Tea Closet.
Black Tea Closet.
That sounds like some gangster shit.
Black Tea Closet. Like,
yeah. What'd you say? It is. Hey, man, my radar is impeccable, man. That sounds like you open that closet, boy. There's going to be numbers. Vests.
No.
I hope not.
The vests that are on there are actually like, no, they're not. No, they're not vests. They're vest, and they're for business wear.
Oh, yeah, okay,
so
okay,
you know,
okay,
in business settings, you might need to wear
business
a vest,
and business
you know,
casual.
Yeah, so pretty much, you can pretty much go on there, and I can pretty much guarantee you can find at least one.
Now hold on, this be
like
the problem. This be the problem. You got tall guys like me and the commissioner, and then you got the oblong guys like. Can you clothe us?
We go up to 5X.
Well, 5S got him covered,
but we got
ball player.
Yeah,
you got
to dress up.
So
player,
right? We do.
Do you got what I need?
We do, and honestly, I'm definitely, that's something I've kept in mind because I have been getting a lot of feedback from guys that, you know, they're looking for things for, you know, different
we're checking you
style
out now,
shapes.
In case you don't know. We're
so, yeah,
out.
That's fine.
Nah, but right now.
So, I'm on once again, it's at Black Tea Closet.
Yes.
And like, I see you got, you pushing the summer line heavy because you got the swim trunks looking, you know, the beach lounge well.
Right.
Going,
that's me. I'm
going to
show my belly button.
No. You put that keg away. To my six pack.
Man, isn't it?
When you leave the country, I can do a survey right now.
When you leave the country,
of
they don't
all
know
the
what
women that we
to send
know,
you back to.
I don't know a soul who would say they want to see the belly button.
What?
You know what I'm saying?
That was his go-to.
I wouldn't leave my belly button.
They see my belly button.
No, we're not going to do that. But yes.
Hey, what?
I didn't get that. What was your website again?
My Instagram is at FlyerTheMost, FLIER, the most. And my brand page for Swag Official is SwagOfficialMusic_.
So, like, and this is one of the reasons why I like this, because a segment like this, and G-Rush just said it, it's room is open for a lot of collaborations because there's a lot of crossover in what a lot of you individuals do. These are creative thinkers. We have creative thinkers that are mixed with business ideas, that are mixed with business-minded people. And if you're working together, if you're talking together, you guys can kind of network, and that's what we want to do here, to get people to network and boost each other and help each other, bounce creative ideas off of each other.
Man, as black entrepreneurs and business people, we got to just be network-minded, period. Like,
because that's what they do. That's what they do.
Nobody black got rich without pulling somebody,
but nobody
without
got rich.
Being pulled up.
Yeah, nobody got rich unless you were born into it.
Because we the only ones let us in. You know what I'm saying? Don't nobody just...
So, but I do this because we often want to be let into another room when we have the room, you know what I'm saying? We have the room that we already deserve to be in. We try to get in that room over there, and we don't need to be in that room.
Nah, we just build a room. Build
because
a whole,
once you get
build
in that room.
Build and make them come in our room.
Yeah, so once again, DJ Unique. I'm going to let you take it over for about 10, 15 minutes, and then We're going to get the final playoff words in because I want everybody to sound off.
Everybody, ooh, I seen everybody make a little bitty face when he said playoffs.
Yeah, I want everybody to get
we got sports fans in this motherfucker, boy. I seen everybody kind of go.
Shouts out to Kia. Kia Jeffries just walked in the building. Yeah, it's all good. You here?
Oh, I thought you said getting weeds. I was going to say, what you got?
You see what his mind is? Kiwi. You see what his mind is?
I don't know nothing about that. I hate weeds. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's look. Hey, what was the
dare to be different?
Y'all didn't see the meme?
Yeah. What did he say? What did he say? Weed don't do nothing to me.
Right. He was like, weed don't bother me. Right. I hate weed.
So we're going to come back in about 10 minutes. I want Unique to go up.
I just want everybody to know this is my brother Fruit Punch.
Uh-oh.
And the reason we call him Fruit Punch is because, like, what it was, seventh grade. But that man finally hit somebody, man. And it was just.
See how you do? See how you do?
It was just.
Right.
We were so proud of him. We thought it was the Fruit Punch that made him hit. And we called him Fruit Punch ever since.
We're gonna get into that. Right.
It's coming. I'm gonna give you a chance to get me back.
Yeah. He had to sneak that jab in there right before. He just sneaked that
back. We've been calling the man Fruit Punch since 92.
DJ Unique, you ready, my brother?
Okay, bye.